Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. After a farewell meeting with President Carter at the White House, Secretary of State Muskie today is heading for Western Europe and high-level talks in Brussels and Vienna. Bernard Kell reports from the State Department.
It will represent Muskie's first appearance overseas as Secretary of State, and he'll be facing a variety of problems, everything from Western Europe's anxieties about the steadiness of the Carter administration's foreign policy to the challenge thrown at the U.S. by the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. Muskie's first stop will be NATO headquarters in Brussels, where he's expected to reassure the alliance members that all's well in Washington. But he's also expected to raise the question of Western European economic sanctions against Iran. The word from the continent is that the countries there are planning to water down their original commitment to slap a sweeping economic embargo against the Tehran regime, to build pressure to free the American hostages. The U.S. wants no dilution of that commitment. From Brussels, Muskie flies to Vienna to join in ceremonies marking the 25th anniversary of the four-power treaty that ended the World War II occupation of Austria. In Vienna, he'll meet with Soviet Foreign Minister Gromyko, the first such high-level contact in 8 months. But no breakthroughs are expected, rather an opportunity to revive a dialogue between the U.S. and the USSR. Bernard Kalb, CBS News, the State Department.
The chairman of NATO's military chiefs said today in Brussels that Soviet military power is approaching a dangerous level of superiority. He called it ominous. Concerning Iran, Japanese Prime Minister O'Hara says his government will go along with Western Europe in imposing economic sanctions unless progress is made toward releasing the American hostages by the May 17th deadline this Saturday. Primary voting is in progress today in Maryland and Nebraska, with Senator Kennedy and George Bush still playing catch-up. Reed Collins has details at CBS News primary election headquarters in New York.
The underdogs, Kennedy and Bush, would like to continue what industrial state successes they have had with wins in Maryland. The Democrats send 59 delegates to the convention from Maryland. The Republicans send 30. Reagan is the pre-election favorite, though he did not do well in 1976, and he hasn't campaigned much in Maryland this time. The Democratic race is seen as closer. Nebraska presents a statistical oddity in that it has more Republican delegates than Democratic ones, 25 to 24. The Cornhusker state also rewards those who personally campaign in it. Frank Church beat Jimmy Carter in 1976. Robert Kennedy won in 1968, defying the conservative image Nebraska has. Though Reagan is closer to a theoretical lock on the convention, sweeps in Maryland and Nebraska won't put him over the mark, and neither would Carter wins do the same for him. Those magic numbers remain out on the campaign 80 trail. Reed Collins, CBS News, primary election headquarters, New York.
This is Jed Duval with the Kennedy campaign in California. The voting may be in Maryland and Nebraska, but the Kennedy campaign is putting its chips on three big states, California, New Jersey, and Ohio, all part of the primary season's grand finale, the June 3rd contest. The senator arrived in San Francisco last night and headed straight for fundraising events in the Bay Area. On arrival, he was asked about the effort by a number of state party chairpersons to persuade him to leave the race. Kennedy said he figured those were Carter supporters anyway, so he wasn't surprised. And he asked out loud, they could only get 10 out of 50? And the senator promised for the umpteenth time that he's in this race for the course. Jed Duval, CBS News, San Francisco.
This is Richard Roth with the Bush campaign in Detroit. Bush did not campaign at all in Nebraska this year, in effect conceding that state to Reagan. He did campaign in Maryland, and the organization has high hopes of a win there. Regardless, the campaign has now turned west, heading this morning for Oregon after several days in Michigan. Both Oregon and Michigan hold their primaries in 1 week. Though winning now won't make the simple delegate count look much better for Bush, it is a crucial psychological factor in his campaign's current strategy. That is, to convince delegates pledged to Reagan but not legally bound to him to switch allegiance. That is Bush's end game now, and it is a long shot. Richard Roth, CBS News, with the Bush campaign in Detroit.
House and Senate conferees begin work this morning on reconciling different versions, both described as balanced, of the federal budget for the fiscal year that begins October 1st. The Senate last night approved a budget totaling $613.1 billion. The House budget, approved last week, totals $611.8 billion, with $8 billion less for defense than the amount passed by the Senate. Tornadoes hit parts of Missouri and Pennsylvania late yesterday, injuring dozens of people and causing severe damage, especially in Sedalia, Missouri, as we hear from Chuck Wolf of CBS radio affiliate KCMO in Kansas City.
A half dozen businesses and factories have been leveled, 60 mobile homes destroyed, 200 people are homeless, now living in school buildings in the area. Power and phone lines were ripped down, trees were uprooted, drive-in theater screens and speaker poles flattened to the ground, with Sedalia residents picking through the rubble, finding a handkerchief here, a watch or piece of furniture there. About two dozen people were hurt. Luckily, no one was killed. Damage estimates range from $45 to $50 million, with Missouri Governor Joe Teasdale calling in 100 National Guardsmen and 50 Highway Patrol troopers to prevent looting and assist in the cleanup. It was the second time in 3 years that tornadoes have touched down in this western Missouri town of 23,000 people, now faced with rebuilding their homes and their lives again. The governor is asking for federal disaster assistance. Chuck Wolf for CBS News, Kansas City.
Chrysler Corporation holds its annual meeting today, and Don Webster reports from Chicago that there are likely to be some anxious questions from the floor.
Worried stockholders will no doubt grill Board Chairman Lee Iacocca about the company's financial plight, specifically whether the federal $1.5 billion loan guarantee will save the company or merely postpone the time Chrysler finally goes bankrupt. Chrysler lost more than $1 billion last year and may lose another $1 billion this year. To become profitable again, Chrysler needs several things, some of which are beyond their control. First, the company needs a general improvement in auto sales. Also, two new compacts being introduced this fall, the Plymouth Reliant and Dodge Aries, need to be very successful. And there needs to be public confidence that if a customer buys a new car now, Chrysler will still be around in a few years to supply service and spare parts. Don Webster, CBS News, Chicago.
Yesterday, Chrysler announced it will permanently close its truck assembly plant near St. Louis at the end of the year and the Windsor, Ontario engine plant in August. That will mean the laying off of another 2,500 workers. South Korean college students staged another demonstration today against the continued enforcement of martial law. Bruce Dunning was on the scene in Seoul.
About 500 students chanting and shouting slogans burst out of a university campus through police lines. Riot police wearing protective gear fired tear gas, dispersing them. It was the most serious campus demonstration in Seoul since leaders of student governance at two dozen universities promised to keep student rallies confined to campuses. Student unrest is growing here, and the students have set tomorrow as a deadline for the government to lift martial law. Otherwise, they threaten massive street demonstrations. One student told me it may be necessary for many of us to shed blood. The student uprisings were touched off by the appointment of the chief of the martial law command, General Chun Do-kwon, to a concurrent post as director of the Korean Central Intelligence Agency, long the political police of South Korea. The government has warned the students that martial law can be lifted only if there is no threat of what officials call social disorder. And dissident leader Kim Dae-jung, a hero to many Koreans, urged the students to show restraint and not give military authorities an excuse to crack down and to interfere with progress toward greater democracy. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Seoul.
Up north along the buffer zone, a U.S. Army patrol had a brief exchange of gunfire with unidentified intruders. It happened last night south of the western portion of the line that divides the two Koreas. A U.S. military official neither confirms nor denies that the intruders were North Koreans, and it's not known whether they suffered any casualties. No Americans were wounded. Michele Sindona, the Italian financier convicted in March of causing the largest bank failure in American history, reportedly tried to kill himself this morning in New York City. Sindona was taken to a hospital from his cell at the Metropolitan Correctional Center, and a hospital spokesman says his wrists had been slashed. Sindona is listed in critical condition. The dollar is weaker today against the major foreign currencies, and gold is slightly lower. It was fixed in London at $510 an ounce.
CBS News. Bloody purges are reported in Libya, and American citizens are being expelled. I'm Richard C. Hautelet reporting on the CBS Radio Network. One of the foremost European newspapers, the Neue Zürcher Zeitung of Switzerland, reports that the regime of Colonel Muammar Gaddafi has arrested more than 2,000 people over the past few months and executed hundreds of them. The newspaper says most have middle-class backgrounds and include army officers, civil servants, students, and businessmen. 25 Americans expelled from Libya yesterday are now in Frankfurt, Germany. Employees of an oil company school, their families, and other professional people, they were accused of spying. The State Department says 7 other Americans are about to be expelled, and it is investigating a report that 2 American citizens are being held in prison in Tripoli. Uganda, which has been in turmoil since the overthrow of Idi Amin more than a year ago, has now had another coup. A 6-man military commission has removed President Godfrey Binaisa and assumed his powers. More from newsman Cameron Morton.
Observers here are now wondering whether the arrangement is intended to be permanent. On paper, the commission is a watchdog agency of the Uganda National Liberation Front, created to observe and report to the front on military problems. Obviously, it has now moved beyond its intended role. Ever since the ouster of dictator Idi Amin, presidential powers have been restricted by the UNLF's legislative arm, the National Consultative Council. The question now being asked is this: will the military commission, having assumed presidential powers, submit, as others have, to control by the council? So far, there's been no answer. In its announcement of the takeover, the commission stresses that the action was not taken by the army. But 4 of its 6 members are senior army officers, so civilians here are hard-pressed to see why the distinction was drawn. Cameron Morton for CBS News, Kampala.
More news after this.
United Van Lines presents Stiller and Mira.
I checked the x-rays, Mrs. Gurney. You got 12 cavities, 2 dying roots, and your gums are getting spongy.
Oh, Dr. Felder, it's terrible.
Relax. I'm going to give you a little gas now.
Dr. Felder, what am I going to do?
Breathe deeply and open your mouth.
You don't understand. It's my husband.
Men can be brutes, Mrs. Gurney.
My husband's being transferred to Cincinnati. I can't face moving.
No problem. Just call United Van Lines, Betty Malone.
United Van Lines, Betty Malone?
The Betty Malone information service is provided by United Van Lines free. Keep breathing. United's Betty Malone will help you relocate anywhere in the world.
Even Cincinnati?
Sure, with facts about schools, utilities, places of worship.
Oh, boy. I'm calling Betty Malone right away. Hey, wait. I'm going to need a new dentist.
For that, you call Fred Felder.
United Van Lines Fred Felder?
No, my brother Fred Felder. He's the biggest root canal man in Cincinnati. You can stop breathing now.
Wherever you're moving, make it nice going. United, we're in the Yellow Pages.
The new Secretary of State, Edmund Muskie, is on his way to his first assignment, a meeting tomorrow in Brussels with foreign ministers of NATO nations. From Brussels, Muskie flies to Vienna to mark the 25th anniversary of the state treaty that ended the occupation after World War II. In Vienna, Muskie will meet Soviet Foreign Minister Andrei Gromyko for the first time. The new secretary regards that as a get-acquainted opportunity, not a negotiating session. He suggested that if there is to be a dialogue after the invasion of Afghanistan, the Soviet Union bears the burden of taking the initiative.
I think the purpose of the dialogue is to explore the possibilities for the Soviet Union to carry its burden. It may not agree with me that it has that burden, but it's my responsibility and my conviction that we must make it clear to them that burden rests on their shoulders.
Maryland and Nebraska hold presidential primaries today, but it doesn't seem to be much cause for excitement. In Maryland, turnout is reported to be light to very light. Stocks and other news after this.
Your home is probably your most important investment, so how you protect that investment is important. It's well worth a talk with your State Farm agent. Nobody has more experience in insuring homes than State Farm. You'll find low rates, and when it comes to service, nobody can beat what a State Farm agent provides. Good price, good service, good protection for your home.
And like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hemorrhoids are nothing to be embarrassed about. 60 million Americans sometimes suffer the pain and itch. And 2 of every 3 sufferers use Preparation H. In many cases, doctor-tested Preparation H gives prompt temporary relief from occasional pain and itch of hemorrhoidal tissues, actually helps shrink swelling of tissues due to inflammation, If you suffer occasional hemorrhoidal symptoms, get Preparation H. Helps shrink swelling as it relieves pain and itch. Use only as directed.
President Carter's plea to expand his anti-inflation agency was rejected today. The House Banking Committee reversed an earlier decision and voted to cut the budget request for the Council on Wage and Price Stability in half. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones average is up 3.25. Volume on the big board, 14,050,000 shares. The Dow Jones Industrial Average stands now at 808.45. Richard C. Hautelet, CBS News.
This is The World Tonight. Good evening, I'm Douglas Edwards, CBS News. The polls are closed now in Maryland and Nebraska, and the count is underway to determine the winners of the presidential primaries there. Neil Strauser has the latest from the CBS News primary night headquarters in New York.
CBS News estimates that President Carter has won the Democratic primary in Maryland and by a fairly surprising margin over Senator Edward Kennedy, taking 57% of the vote to Kennedy's 35%. 8% of the votes being cast for uncommitted, in effect, neither of the above. In the Republican primary, Ronald Reagan is leading George Bush, but Bush is making it close in Baltimore City and the suburbs around Washington. Kennedy is winning only in those suburbs and trailing elsewhere, even in Baltimore City, where he put heavy stress on the economic issue. The voting was light in both Maryland and Nebraska, reflecting apparently both a feeling that the nominations are already wrapped up and that none of the above feeling about the candidates. One woman who did vote in Maryland described her Kennedy vote as defensive. With a comparative handful of delegates at stake, there was a certain amount of candidate apathy, too. Primary day found Bush and Kennedy looking to other primaries. Bush in Michigan, which votes next week. Kennedy in California, which votes June 3rd. Kennedy did spend 5 days last week campaigning in Maryland. He made fewer appearances in Nebraska. Bush campaigned moderately in Maryland, not at all in Nebraska. Neil Strauser, CBS News, primary night headquarters in New York.
More news after this.
If your house is too hot,
it hurts to pay for central heating and cooling? See your participating GE climate doctor. He'll give you a free diagnosis and prescribe just the right General Electric system for your home. He's got many energy-saving systems you can choose from. So call your climate doctor, your GE dealer, in the yellow pages under air conditioning equipment. He's got the cure for painful heating and cooling costs.
Call your GE climate doctors. We've got the cure.
We bring good things to life.
Edmund Muskie arrived in Brussels tonight on his first trip abroad as Secretary of State, and he was scarcely off the plane before he was emphasizing problems with the Soviet Union. Mike Landers has a report.
Muskie arrived saying the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan represents a change of direction in Soviet foreign policy that must be deterred.
I think it's very important that the West, that the alliance, that the NATO indicate to the Soviet Union in the most positive terms that adventurism, or it may be more serious than that, is represented by Soviet invasion of Afghanistan is unacceptable to the West and an indication of a turn in Soviet foreign policy that must be deterred.
On the subject of Iran and the American hostages still held by the Iranian students, Secretary Muskie made it clear he'll press the European allies to live up to their commitments to start imposing tough sanctions against Iran. The deadline for starting the European sanctions is this weekend. Michael Landers, CBS News, Brussels.
Tomorrow, Muskie joins the ministers of the NATO alliance in their spring meeting. Tom Fenton reports a change in atmosphere there.
American officials found a degree of willingness among European allies to pull their weight in NATO that has not been seen for at least a decade. The officials said they were most encouraged by the list of military measures the NATO defense officials will announce tomorrow. They include a bigger pool of wartime manpower reserves, bigger ammunition stocks, and provision of wide-bodied civil airliners to ferry American troops across the Atlantic. Most of the measures have been included in long-range plans for the next 10 to 15 years and will now be accomplished in the next year or two. The European willingness to make a greater military effort is in large part a reflection of the concern in both political and military circles here that the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan has significantly increased the risk of a major war. Many of the measures to be announced are designed to take up the slack in Europe in case American forces earmarked for the reinforcement of Europe are diverted to the Middle East and the Indian Ocean. Tom Fenton, CBS News, Brussels.
More news when the World Tonight continues.
America's going for the first new pickup of the 80s, the 1980 Ford. And right now, your Ford dealer's special edition Explorer pickup can save you $500 off the sticker price when you purchase the following option package: air conditioning, automatic transmission, power steering, speed control, auxiliary fuel tank, sport gauges, special trim, and more. The new Ford Explorer, a special addition to the first new truck of the 80s, and savings of $500 off the sticker price based on manufacturer's suggested retail price of the package compared to traditional suggested pricing for the options purchased separately. And here's another reason America's going Ford for pickups. Ford has the best mileage rating of any standard size American-built pickup. An EPA estimated MPG of 19 with optional overdrive transmission. Use for comparisons, your mileage may differ. Comparisons exclude diesels and car trucks. Right now, it's Ford Truck Month at your dealer. Come in and see how much you can save on the first new truck of the 80s. Now, during Ford Truck Month.
The United States filed a strong protest with Cuba today. At issue, an incident yesterday in which Cuban MiG fighters buzzed a U.S. Coast Guard helicopter. The Pentagon ordered two Air Force jets to the scene, but the Cubans disappeared before the Air Force got there. There is also concern about the danger of an incident this weekend, this one in Havana. Marvin Kalb reports.
It's called the March of the Fighting People. Hundreds of thousands of Cubans being organized to march past the U.S. diplomatic mission in Havana this coming Saturday. Because of the Iranian takeover of the U.S. embassy in Tehran, American officials are extremely worried about a repeat performance. They have asked the Cubans for added protection and for official assurances nothing will be allowed to happen to the U.S. mission. The Cuban government has given such assurances. Still, in the opinion of Cuban specialists here, the Castro regime seems to be spoiling for a confrontation with the United States, apparently to distract attention from a sharp deterioration in Cuban economic conditions. Specialists speak of economic sabotage, of a paralysis in production. Apparently, the Russians have become increasingly concerned about the general situation, too, but have not increased their military or advisory personnel on the island. Finally, officials acknowledge the flow of Cubans to the U.S. continues, but the U.S. is still trying, unsuccessfully, to come up with a coherent response and policy. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, the State Department.
There's been bad weather between Cuba and Florida, but it's clearing now, and the Coast Guard says the sea lift is starting once again. We'll have the Wall Street Report in a moment.
The Indy 500. You get one chance at it once a year, and winning it takes a lot of car. Just ask two-time Indy winner Johnny Rutherford.
Well, I'm driving the Pennzoil Chaparral for Jim Hall. It's the new breed of race car. It's the ground effects car, and it's made a big impact on car racing for the simple fact that it is the latest in design, and of course it did very well previously, and we've made changes in the car that seem to have made it better, so I feel very good about the coming season.
Johnny Rutherford also feels good about the motor oil he'll run with.
Oh, yes. Pennzoil is synonymous with performance. The name speaks for itself. It's been around a long time, and a lot of people rely on the Pennzoil quality for performance.
Johnny Rutherford knows his car. He also knows that he'll be racing with a motor oil that does all an oil can do to make him a winner in 1980. Pennzoil. We make it for your car, too. Ask for it.
Stocks closed higher on Wall Street today. The Dow Jones Industrials closed around 817, up 11.69. The average price per share was up 38 cents in trading on the New York Exchange. Volume there, over 35 million shares. The average price was up 37 cents on the American Exchange. Wall Street on this World Tonight.